What generates conflicts? And as we look through the verses that the Word of God gives us in the book of Proverbs, a book on wisdom, we basically can summarize the verses under these three headings. Number one, and perhaps chiefly, our conflicts come from a sinful heart. There are going to be a variety of sins that are resident in our heart that make it hard for us to get along with people and cause us to actually cause conflict around us. Number two, a quarrelsome spirit. So this is actually maybe a subset of a sinful heart, but you know, there are people that seem like they're angry all the time. They're always picking fights. They like to argue. And wherever they go, it's like trouble follows them like a cloud, and conflicts are always surrounding them. The problem is not the situations they're in. The problem is the quarrelsome spirit that they have. And then third, rash behavior. There are things that we can actually do on the outside that will generate conflicts unnecessarily. Again, next week we'll be looking at what resolves conflicts and, you know, how to put a lid on some of these things, how to fix the heart attitude, how to walk into a conflict and help bring people together, how to be a peacemaker. We're going to be looking at that next week. We'll only be hinting at it this week. So, like all these Proverbs studies, I think we all find these pretty convicting. Just letting the Word of God speak. But I hope that part of what will happen this week from our study tonight is maybe some reduction of the conflicts that you're facing or some reduction of conflicts that you could be facing if you would fix these kinds of problems. So number one, what generates conflicts? Basically a sinful heart. The real cause for the conflicts we get involved with is deeper than we might think. We're often, you know, thinking through how did this happen, and we're shifting blame in various directions, but usually the first place we need to look is inside. There's usually some outward provocation, something that ticks us off, something that hurts us, but that alone doesn't cause the conflict. Rather, it reveals what was inside. It's basically the squeeze that lets us find out what's actually going on inside. In fact, James talks about this, James 4:1. What causes the quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions, your desire for pleasure, wanting your own way, are at war within you? The war on the outside is actually just coming from the inside. The wars that we see in the world ultimately find their root in the human heart. Even the war of nations ultimately is to be found in the human heart. So the problem, though, is that we all see ourselves as the good guy in our story. I was telling someone the other day, I think only twice in my life, in all the counseling I've ever done, where there's some kind of conflict to resolve, only twice in my life has anyone ever come into the office and said, you know, I know that this problem, that the reason we're having this problem is because of me. I think I've done probably hundreds of these, and only twice the problem is with me. Usually the finger is pointing at the other person. Husband, wife, is always the spouse's problem. If they would just fix that problem, then we wouldn't have any problems. The problem is that we all see ourselves as the good guy in our story. Even with our sins, we have good reasons for our sins. So when a conflict arises, the other person's sin or the other person's flaws is really obvious to us, and we're often blind to our own. We need humility to realize how blind we can actually be to our own faults, because that's dealing right at the root of where a lot of our conflicts come from. So Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. If I can just start off with this reality that God knows me for who I really am, and with the humility of being willing to open myself up and have God search me and know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, rather than entering into conflict or entering into life as if I've got no problems, the problems are all out there, to recognize I'm blind to some of my problems, But God sees them all. And I'm going to go before God and ask him to actually show me what's going on. And this is a really a regular exercise. God, show me where I need to improve. Show me the sins that are in my life so that I can make them right. So what are some of the things that the kinds of sinful behavior, the sinful heart attitudes that produce strife? Proverbs 13:10, by insolence comes nothing but strife. But those who take advice, with those who take advice is wisdom. Insolence is basically an arrogance that has to have its own way. The kind of person that basically has the attitude, you're not going to push me around. I've got my rights and I'm going to protect my rights. It's actually the opposite of those that are open to advice, who are, as James puts it, easy to be entreated. This is your proud and prickly person that won't listen to anyone. Well, you can be sure that that kind of person will be generating conflicts right and left. And so this is one of the things I want to ask myself is, the reason am I having this conflict because there's really an arrogance in my heart where I'm not willing to take advice, I'm not willing to listen to somebody else. I'm proud, I'm not going to be pushed around, it's my way or the highway. Well, if I have that kind of attitude, and by the way, if you want to know whether you have that kind of attitude, ask the people that live with you. And tell them there'll be no repercussions for their being honest with you, okay? The people, you may not be able to see this, but if this is what they're picking up, then let it be a warning to you that strife is going to be the price that you pay. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So a liar and a gossip, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, a liar and a gossip spread strife like fire. It catches. Truth unites people. It brings people together. And truth heals, whereas falsehood divides and wounds. It's done that right from the beginning. The father of lies, Satan himself, starts planting a lie about God's character, that he really doesn't care about Adam and Eve, and that he's some kind of bully that's trying to cut them off from what would make their life meaningful. So he begins with that lie in order basically to murder the human race. And so a dishonest person, a person that really doesn't know his facts or that knows them and gives something else, is a kind of person that's going to spread strife. It's amazing, all the misinformation. We call it fake news. Well, it's not just the news networks, and it's not just, you know, on Facebook. It's in people. How quickly we spread things we don't actually know to be true, and it generates all kinds of strife. Proverbs 28:25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. The reality is, if you are greedy, if you are living for money, if you are thinking that somehow your happiness is bound up in having more things, and this is what you make your life about, you're engaged in idolatry. And it's a powerful form of idolatry. It's self-centered. Greediness makes for all kinds of unnecessary conflicts, because if you're in the world to heap stuff to yourself, then you have difficulty giving toward others. You have difficulty letting others have any kind of advantage. And greed works very much like drunkenness. A drunken person can't think straight. A drunken person loses inhibitions, has wounds, doesn't know where they came from, has strife all around him because he's drunk. A person drunk with greed will cause all kinds of problems. And the verse actually gives the cure to that. The cure is a genuine trust in the Lord, that he will provide your needs without your having to fight for your rights. So you might not think that desire, materialism, would actually produce conflict, but it does. Here, let me just give you one example. Think about the reading of a will where there's a sizable estate. I mean, that's classic, where the family turns on each other because of how the will is broken out. When we get greedy, we create contention and strife. This is one of the evil things in our hearts that generates conflict. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Really, since love is the summation of the law, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, everything in the law is just fleshing that out. I don't steal because I love my neighbor. I'm not going to commit adultery because I love my wife and I love the person that I might commit adultery with. It destroys them. And I love God, okay? So all keeping of the law is ultimately an expression of love. And hatred is the opposite of that. Hatred stirs up strife. Love seeks to reconcile and to heal relationships. And hatred, at whatever level, creates just the opposite. Now, we use the word hatred, and usually we mean like you loathe a person, like you just as soon murder them. You hate them at that level. But hatred can be nothing more than lack of love for someone. It can just be not treating a person as a person, not honoring them as made in the image of God, not loving them that way. And when you don't hold people in the right kind of esteem, then you're going to be much more likely to get into contention with them. You hold a person in high esteem, your arguments don't turn into conflicts. You can actually have discussions when you actually love a person. It's when you don't hold them in your heart that you find the contention arises. Proverbs 17:19. Whoever loves transgression loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. Sin is intrinsically disruptive. When I'm sinning against God, it gives me a bad attitude and I have trouble getting along with other people. Sin is prideful to the core. And making his door high refers to trying to have a facade to your house that makes you look like you're a big, important person. So maybe we could say it this way. Trying to be a big shot brings destruction. Trying to pass yourself off as bigger than you are, more important than you are, brings destruction. If you're in love with transgression, if you're in love with any sin, you're in love with strife. That's what the text says. You can't be right with God if you're in love with sin, and if you're not right with God, you're not going to be right with people either. So when you choose sin, when you deliberately sin, you love some kind of sin in your life, that is going to end up generating conflict. You will end up loving strife. You're saying, give me a dose of strife every time I take sin to myself, because it sets me at odds with God. I'm going to kick up conflict. So, since conflicts ultimately come from a sinful heart, what conflicts are you facing that are actually rooted in your own sinful heart attitude toward other people or toward a particular person? Now, obviously, as we engage with other people, you might have one person that's living right before God and one person that's not. Maybe the conflict's coming from the other side. But as far as what lies in you, are you living peaceably with people? As far as what's up to you, are you a peaceful person, a peacemaker? Because this is what godliness actually produces. What conflicts are you facing that are actually rooted in your own sinful heart attitude toward other people? Because all these verses note a sinful heart attitude that tends to diminish the value of other human beings for the sake of selfish interest, whether it's insolence or pride, dishonesty, greed, hatred, selfish love for sin. All these generate conflicts. So deal with the sin of your heart if you want peace with others. And this goes back to stop worrying about who squeezes the tube. Start worrying about what's in the tube, what's actually on the inside. Second, quarrelsome spirit. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And by the way, let me just say, if I've even heard people say, talk about how they have a short temper and almost bragging about it. When I brag about having a short temper, I'm bragging about lacking the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is long-temperedness, long-suffering. And so a short temper, an angry person, is going to stir up strife. Proverbs 26, 20, and 21, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no whisperer, a gossiper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Or Proverbs 22, 10, drive out a scoffer and the strife will go out, just like fire will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. A scoffer's got an arrogant attitude. He's combative. He's always pushing back. He's always argumentative. He always knows better. That kind of angry person is always going to be generating strife. Proverbs 3, 29 to 32, this kind of spirit, this quarrelsome spirit resident in your heart can actually be something that invades even your plans for the day. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Sometimes, particularly in entertainment, those that are people of violence are exalted, and they're the heroes of the story. It says, for a devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. So you find a contentious person, and you find a person who is out of fellowship with God. Because it's not only this contention, this angry spirit, not only creates problems with people, it actually makes God your enemy. Did you see that? A devious person is an abomination to the Lord. You're making God your enemy rather than enjoying having the blessing of having God as a close friend. The upright are in his confidence. They are close friends, a confidant that you would that would know your secrets and that would protect your heart. Think about the closest friend that you have. And think about the privilege of having God be closer yet. Of actually being in his confidence, of God sharing with you things that most people don't know because you're walking so close to him. This is what is open to us, but it's not open to a person who is a contentious, argumentative, angry person. That kind of person is an abomination to God. He doesn't draw close to people like that. Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. The reality is that not only does an angry man commit a lot of sins himself, but he actually provokes other people to sin as well. And wherever there are groups of people, and wherever there are connections with people, an angry man can do all kinds of damage, causing much transgression. So Proverbs 6:12 and following says, a worthless person, a wicked man, with perverted heart, devises evil and continually sowing discord. And then it lists things that God hates, and among them is this: the Lord hates one who sows discord among the brothers. Often they couch it in, it's the principle of the thing. They'll couch it in, did you know what actually went on in that meeting? They'll couch it in, you know what they're really trying to do? It usually is a mixture of lies and misinformation and desire to do harm. But sowing discord among the brothers. Angry, contentious, divisive, scoffing, persons proud and abusive, those kinds of people create conflicts, and Yahweh hates it. It's the polar opposite of the reconciling power of the gospel, which reflects the very heart of God, who is relentless in his steadfast love. Even even when we are sinners. When we are yet sinners, God demonstrated his love toward us. Christ died for us while we were rebels against him. He pursued us. God is a reconciling God, and godly people are reconciling people. And what's really sad is how often quarrelsome behavior shows up in the home, which ought to be a safe haven, ought to be the safest place of all. And this is where the hurts go especially deep. Proverbs 19:13, it's also in Proverbs 27:15, similar words. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. And, you know, it doesn't mean that a husband's quarreling isn't, okay? You know, the point is that here's a spouse, and like you can't have a conversation because the spouse is always picking at something, is always quarreling about something, is always contentious. Proverbs 21:9, it's better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And you're wondering with Solomon, if you have as many wives as he had, why he didn't have to move out of the country. But he speaks from experience, and of course, they were probably quarreling about all the other wives that he had, which is another foolish thing he did. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. And again, it's not just a problem with women, it's to live closely with a person that is quarrelsome and fretful. It's basically to ruin your life. It destroys a place that ought to be a place of peace. Keller talks about this in his devotional for July 30. Some people are argumentative because they cannot distinguish between essential truths worth contending for and secondary or non-essential issues. We see this in theology stuff all the time and in churches. Others are argumentative because their pride makes it hard for them to admit when they are in the wrong. Some others simply are irritable, lack impulse control, and can't resist making caustic remarks that inflame things. Perhaps the main reason for loving an argument is that being proved right can be an exercise in power rather than in truth. A lot of times it has much more to do with I want to be in control than it has to do with what's actually going on. The qualifications of an elder, who's to be an example of how any good Christian lives, is that he is 1 Timothy 3:3, not violent but gentle and not quarrelsome. And we know this is true to be true of all believers because this is to reflect the transforming effect of regeneration. Titus 3:2, remind them to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. This is what believers ought to be known for in their community. They should not be known for picketing. They should not be known for stirring up conflict. They should not be known for pride in how much better they are than other people. They should not be known for that. They should be known for being gentle and showing perfect courtesy. In fact, this is so wicked a sin, being divisive and contentious, that it actually calls for church discipline when it shows up in the church. Paul says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. All the quarrels about right and wrong that aren't clear, avoid them, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So, we have to be really careful in our exercise of holiness, in our exercise of trying to fight for what's right, that we don't become contentious people and divisive people. It's not just a small thing if that's what we become. It's actually something that's so contrary to the gospel that it actually calls for church discipline. So here's the question. If others consider you an angry or quarrelsome person, what about your attitudes, words, and actions are causing them to think that? Has anybody said that to you in recent weeks and months? And typically we're going to push back on that, right? How can you say that about me? Why would you say that about me? Well, ask the question in a humble way. Why would you say that about me? You know, what have I done that would make you draw that conclusion? God's people are peacemakers. Could it be that the real problem is that you're not at peace with God? Because the Holy Spirit produces the opposite of short temper. He produces long suffering. And then finally, rash behavior. This is basically a lack of control. Lack of control in what you speak. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips walk into a fight. His mouth invites a beating. Proverbs 29:9, a wise man has an argument with a fool. The fool only rages and laughs, and there's no quiet. Keller comments, ranters and scoffers do not persuade or build bridges. They merely energize the base. That is, they preach to those who already agree with them and confirm the views and biases people already have. Believers ought to be able to bring people together to help them see their common ground. Proverbs 26:18-19, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. Be really careful if your excuse for having just caused a conflict or said something that hurt somebody, you say, oh, I was just joking. Usually it's something you should never joke about. Be careful about how we use humor. Proverbs 20:3, it's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. In Proverbs 26:17, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. You're going to get bit. And this is what so often happens, is that there's some kind of offense or some kind of problem. You learn about it. You wade into that. You take up offense for your brother or sister. A lot of times, the problem's already been resolved, but you're going to war on it. The other problem is usually we've heard about the problem from one person, and we don't know the whole picture. So there are times that we will be involved with a quarrel that has arisen where we're trying to help resolve it. But be very careful that you're not just grabbing onto it like grabbing a dog by the ears, that you're actually taking the time to find out what's actually going on, that you're actually welcome to be part of it so that you can actually solve the problem. So this final question, what rash words or actions have got you into unnecessary conflicts? And how can you gain better control of yourself since the Holy Spirit produces self-control or temperance? When you look at all of this, you ultimately come to the reality that what generates conflicts is really my distance from God. That ever since we started listening to the devil instead of to God, the human race has suffered conflict after conflict after conflict. And until we finally bow the knee and let the Prince of Peace rule, the conflicts rage. There's a day coming, though, when the swords will be beat into plowshares, when there will be finally peace ruling over all. And when God rules your heart, you become an agent of peace rather than one who generates conflicts. A sinful heart, a quarrelsome spirit, rash behavior, all these things create conflicts that don't need to be there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, may we be those who show love, show patience, long-temperedness, who bring peace. And Lord, I especially pray that for our homes. I pray that husbands and wives will make things right with one another, and children and parents, and that the pride or the greed, the other kinds of things that have gotten in the way will be confessed and forsaken, and that our homes and our relationships with others would be peaceful relationships for your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.